Our next speaker is Dr. Wilson Vincent. He is a postdoctoral fellow at the University of California in San Francisco, and he's also earning an MPH at the University of California, Berkeley. So welcome, Dr. Vincent.
All right, so my colleagues talked about some of the parent study that we drew from, and we're all kind of focused on aging here using the same data set. And so I'm focused specifically on HIV-related shame and quality of life, that association among older HIV-positive adults. And so by 2015, as Dr. Hansen noted, at least 50%, well, at least half of the persons living with HIV and AIDS will be ages 50 or older. And so older people living with HIV and AIDS face unique psychosocial challenges in addition to physical challenges of aging and living with HIV. For one thing, there's the stigma of being an older person living with HIV. For example, one qualitative study found that, one quote, being perceived as too old to have HIV. Also, stigma, the degree to which the public holds negative attitudes towards a group of people, like just that's basically the definition we're working on, and also how these attitudes affect group members' view of themselves. So when we think about stigma, we're thinking oftentimes what is involved is other people's view of a particular stigmatized groups. Social processes, institutional processes that are really difficult to change. But one thing that might be more amenable to changing, to modifying, is the individual level affective response to stigma, which is shame. And so a prior study showed that HIV shame was a robust predictor of health-related quality of life, controlled for symptoms of, controlled for symptoms of HIV, AIDS, psychological distress, and childhood sexual abuse. So with all of that controlled for, HIV shame was still robust. Other studies have shown, though, that depression accounts for quite a bit of variance in health-related quality of life. So I wanted to, basically, we really wanted to see if HIV-related shame would have unique associations with health-related quality of life, even when accounting for this kind of all-encompassing psychosocial distress variable, depression. And one of the major correlates of depression, loneliness, which has been found to be an issue among older adults in general. So additional issues that we were interested in, do stigma-related problems, such as discrimination, affect the effects of HIV-related shame, and do appearance-related symptoms modify the effects of HIV-related shame? So do they amplify the effects? So existing literature suggested that these factors may affect the association between HIV-related shame and health-related quality of life. So among older people living with HIV and AIDS, HIV shame, these are the hypotheses. We hypothesize that HIV-related shame would be associated with health-related quality of life, both directly and indirectly via depression and loneliness. So we felt that depression and loneliness would play a causal role along the chain, but also even accounting for those that HIV-related shame would play a role with at least one form of health-related quality of life. And also these associations we believe would be greater among older people living with HIV and AIDS who also reported stigma-related problems such as discrimination and lack of knowledge about HIV in the community, as well as appearance-related symptoms. So you've already heard a description of the parent study, and so basically this particular study focused on 297 people living with HIV and AIDS. They were all ages 50 and above, and they were recruited for a trial of a mental health intervention, and we heard a little bit about that recruitment process. So this is the mean age of the sample. The sample was predominantly male, but we know why that is. We collected a third heterosexual men, a third MSM, and a third women. And so the study was also predominantly African American, kind of like mirroring some of the health disparities that we see in the epidemic. Also, less than a quarter of the sample did not graduate high school, but most of the sample did. So most of the sample had at least a high school education. One-fifth of the sample had a college degree. And quite a large proportion of the sample, as you've heard, earned $10,000 or less. And about a third reported an annual income of over $10,000 to $20,000, and only 4% of the sample reported earning more than $40,000. And so these are the measures that we're using here. So it's basically, HIV-related shame, of course, is our primary predictor. Pretty strong internal consistency. Depression was assessed via the geriatric depression scale. We felt like that would be probably the most valid measure for depression in this population. Loneliness was also hung together very well as well. Health-related quality of life, you heard about the five different dimensions here, we focused on three: physical, emotional, and social well-being. And so it seemed like these three were, given that we're talking about HIV-related shame and stigma experienced from other people, these seem to be the most appropriate aspects of quality of life for us to focus on. So stigma-related problems. So 49% of the sample reported experiencing HIV-related discrimination. About 60% reported that there was a lack of knowledge about HIV and AIDS in their communities. About half of the sample reported changes to the skin and changes to body shape in terms of appearance-related symptoms / side effects. This is, we didn't do any labs or anything, so this is all self-report, so I'll just say symptoms / side effects for now. This is our data analytic approach. So I've already talked about the predictor, the mediators here, and these are the outcomes. And so we're also interested in moderators. And so talked about the moderators already, the stigma-related problems, specifically HIV-related discrimination and lack of knowledge in the community, and appearance-related issues, side effects, symptoms and side effects, changes to the skin or body. And covariates, we controlled for demographic characteristics that we talked about already, that I already showed you. So these are all accounted for in the model that I'm showing you. So the analytic approach was structural equation modeling. So we fitted latent variables to account for measurement error. So we assessed paths, like theorized causal paths. Obviously, this is a cross-sectional study, but theorized causal paths from the predictor HIV-related shame to the outcomes, and looked at the role of depression and loneliness in explaining those paths. And so estimated the sample using an approach that didn't require as many assumptions, and so like multivariate normality and all of that. So this is a more robust predictor given the model that I was looking at. And so also looked at moderation, used multiple group comparisons. And so all of those variables that I showed you, we fit latent variables to all of them. They all fit the data adequately. And then we looked at all of the latent variables together in one large omnibus measurement model. And as you can see, the model generally fit the data. And so hopefully you can see this from wherever you are in the room, but this is our final model prior to looking at moderation effects. So in the absence of a pointer, I'll just hopefully I can guide you to where you need to be on this figure. So basically what you're seeing here is that HIV-related shame, the effects, well, I'm using term effects, we know this is a cross-sectional study, but the effects of HIV-related shame on physical well-being and social well-being essentially went down to very either non-significant or very small effects, small levels. And so, but there was quite a robust association between HIV-related shame and emotional well-being. And so even when accounting for a robust variable such as depression and its correlative loneliness, you still see a significant, quite major effect on emotional well-being and somewhat of a, albeit small effect on social well-being. And there were significant indirect effects via depression on physical and emotional well-being, which isn't too surprising. Generally, depression is associated with experience of physical quality of life and emotional quality of life. And also, loneliness was a significant mediator of the association between HIV-related shame and social well-being. So these are the fit statistics for the model that I showed you. It generally fit the data adequately. And so those are generally within the parameters for adequate fit, except for the chi-square value, but the chi-square value is almost always less than 0.05. Depending on the sample size, of course. And then the direct effect of HIV shame on emotional well-being is greater than its effect on physical and social well-being. So there was, we did look at, do some post-hoc analyses there. And I've basically described these effects for you already. So this is a table kind of summarizing all of the direct and indirect effects. And so the letters in the contrast column, the second towards the end, second towards from the right, shows you the contrast made between direct effects and contrast made between pairs of indirect effects. So depression, the effect via depression on physical well-being is greater than the effect via loneliness on physical well-being. And separately, we contrasted emotional well-being and social well-being. Same pattern. So we looked at moderation as well. The indirect effect via loneliness of HIV-related shame on social well-being was actually significant and positive among persons who reported HIV-related shame, HIV-related discrimination, lack of knowledge in the community. These effects were not significant among participants who did not report HIV-related discrimination or lack of knowledge in the community. And so the indirect effect via depression of HIV-related shame on physical well-being was significantly different among participants who reported a lack of HIV-related knowledge in the community compared to those who did not perceive this. And the indirect effect via depression of HIV-related shame on emotional well-being, I'm sure you're following all of these indirect effects as, as I'm going along with this. Different among participants who perceived a lack of HIV-related knowledge in the community relative to those who did not perceive this. So I'll go ahead and summarize those as well. So the indirect effect via loneliness of HIV-related shame on social well-being was significantly different among participants who endorsed having skin-related symptoms or side effects compared to those who did not. There were no moderated effects for people who reported changes to body shape or look, but specifically skin-related symptoms or side effects. And so shame was directly associated with emotional well-being and social well-being, even when accounting for depression and loneliness. That's one of the major take-homes of what I just presented. And so the unique role of shame may be larger in regard to emotional well-being than physical and social well-being. Shame does play a unique, albeit relatively small, role in social well-being. So depression mediated the associations of HIV-related shame. I mean, there's still some mediation. Depression was a powerful mediator when it came to HIV-related shame's association on physical and emotional well-being. Loneliness was a key mechanism that explained the association between HIV-related shame and social well-being. There are some moderating effects. And so people who reported HIV-related issues, discrimination, and lack of knowledge in the community, actually HIV-related shame was associated with better health-related quality of life. So does that make sense? When I saw that, I was like, no, that doesn't make sense. But it did actually make sense when you think of the overall literature. Because if someone is able to identify the fact that they're experiencing discrimination, that's a good sign for them. So for us, that explained why we actually saw positive indirect effects when we looked at moderation, among people who reported stigma-related problems. They were able to report to identify external sources of discrimination and stigma and not just holding that on themselves. Does that make sense? And so so the study's strength, it focused on a relatively modifiable manifestation of stigma, shame, provided an in-depth examination, a relatively in-depth examination of HIV shame in HIV-related quality of life using multivariate methods. And of course, this could be enriched by a mixed methods approach as well, highlighted a growing proportion of people living with HIV and AIDS, older adults. So stigma and shame are significant issues in this population as we move forward. Of course, the cross-sectional design precludes any definitive causal inferences. And the convenience sample was limited in our ability to generalize outside of it. And so basically, a focus on stigma is pretty important, as you saw, including the affective sequelae of stigma. And we can actually focus on shame and modify that more easily. And as a psychologist, you know, I was really excited about that piece. And older people living with HIV and AIDS, perceptions of their social context are pretty important. So loneliness and perceived discrimination and ignorance, those are key aspects on which for us to focus on. And the role of diversity was important. This was a pretty diverse sample that reflected some demographic, including racial and socioeconomic disparities So although the generalizability is limited, we're talking about a sample that sort of reflects the health disparities, generally speaking. And so these are some acknowledgments. NIMH was very kind to donate for the project. And so we also see some other institutes as well, National Institute of Nursing Research, National Institute of Aging, Columbus AIDS Task Force, AIDS Volunteers of Cincinnati, and you can read. So on Callan Lord was very helpful in our collection of data. And all the study participants. No conflicting interests or financial issues to disclose.
Thank you, Dr. Wilson.